could all stand. It's also great, I failed to mention, we have Nikki back over here on... So good to see you also. And I'm trying to look around, see Liana back here from Russia, back home from Russia. So glad to have you back, Liana. And over here we have, I don't see Kyle, but I see Nini. So glad to have you back, Nini. I tell Nini she's the most colorful niece that I have. She certainly brings a lot to our family, and we love her. It is so great to have Brother Micah Johnson, his lovely wife Jasmine, and their new little daughter Kennedy here. Micah came to this church by way of birth. I think, if I remember right, Jason, I think when you came in back years ago, it was just Jason and Leah. Is that correct, Sharon? Micah. So I've known Micah before he was born. Or I've known him since he was born. the Sister Sharon Johnson and the Johnson family has been a part of this church for years and years. They go all the way back on Milwaukee Street, back in the old days. So it's so great. Micah has grown up. He grew up here at Calvary Gospel Church, coming through our Sunday school youth group, went out to California to college, Bible college, and got married out there and is residing out there working in the Bible college there in Stockton. And it's such an honor to have you here, Brother Micah Johnson. God bless you, brother. I love you. Appreciate you.
And praise the Lord, everyone. Oh, I said, praise the Lord, everyone. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. A brother came up to the bishop and was telling us that the only thing that can pull him away from the Packer game is church. Amen. Well, let me tell you something. There's nowhere, no place you'd rather be than the house of God. There's no game, football, basketball, baseball. Hey, this is where it's at. I said, this is where it's at. This is where lives get changed. This is where futures get altered. This is where your mess can get cleaned up. Someone say amen. Oh, it feels good in the house tonight. Amen, amen. You have your Bibles. I won't keep you standing long. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, praise God. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, and then we're going to read a passage out of Ezekiel chapter 3. I'm going to read out of the New King James Version. It's so wonderful to be here with family, friends. I'm glad to have my wife and my daughter here. And we are blessed to be here. I'll say a little bit more on that. Let's read this, and I'll let you be seated. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, it might look a little bit different in the New King James. It says, obey. Everyone say obey. Obey those who rule over you, and be submissive, or submit. For they watch out for your souls, as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Notice it doesn't say for those that give an account. It's not unprofitable to those that are ruling over, but it's unprofitable for those that are not submitted. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, the prophet, saying, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. For the next few moments, I want to preach on this subject tonight. The watchman on the wall. The watchman on the wall. If you would help me pray, put your Bibles to the side. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we absolutely love you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love, your kindness. We pray tonight, God, that you would have your way in this place. I can feel your presence so strong. I pray that it would break through every chain, break through every wall, break through every mindset, break through every attitude, break through every spirit of discouragement, break through every sin, break through every barrier, and bring us to a place of submission to your word. We love you, Jesus. Why don't you do this right now? Reach over and take the person by the hand right there. I want you to pray for your neighbor right now. I believe God is trying to do something among us, but we got to get through this heaviness. We got to break through these chains. Why don't you pray for that person, the hand that you're holding? Pray that God's spirit would rest on them. Pray that God would break through in their life. Oh, come on. Does someone need a breakthrough tonight? Hatariana Mahaya. Some of you are getting ready to break through your problem, break through your circumstance, break through depression, break through fear. Some of you right now, you're getting ready to be healed of anxiety. You're getting ready to be healed of tormenting spirits right now. Pray for that person. Speak faith over them right now. Oh, I feel it in my spirit tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. God's trying to do something. Let it stir up inside of you. Amen. You can be seated tonight. I feel something so special in the house of the Lord. I want to say what a privilege and an honor it is to be here in Madison, Wisconsin. Give honor to your pastor, Pastor Roy Grant. Give honor to the bishop tonight and all the pastoral staff. This church is, I am indebted my entire life to this church, to this ministry, to the ministry that is poured into my life. And I was praying earlier and, I did a quick walkthrough, you know. It's not very many times I get to come back to this building. And I understand it's just a building, you know. The presence of the Lord isn't confined to a building, but the Bible says to remember the old landmarks. Remember those places that where you used to be and you felt the presence of God. And I do believe that you can go back to old landmarks and you can feel the presence of God that same way. And it brings you back, you know, because those were the moments that really, that built and set the foundation and cultivated my spirit man. Amen. And as I was walking through, I began to weep. I found an old closet that I used to pray in, Brother Grant. I found an old closet and I just sat there and began to sing old songs that we used to sing when I was younger. Felt the presence of the Lord sweep in. See, sometimes you got to find those old landmarks in your life. Hello? I've already started preaching. It's in case you didn't know. Sometimes you got to get back to those old places where God spoke to you, where you felt Him. Some of you, you've grown cold in the spirit. Why? Because you've forgotten the old landmarks. The places where God used to pour in, those old revivals you used to have inside of your own mind where there was no one else there. It was just you and God. And it was a revival of the mind, of the spirit, and of the soul. There was never an evangelist that came through. It might not have been a kids crusade or a youth conference, but it was just you and God. And you know where that place is. Some of you need to go back to those places and find that old landmark. And I'm so privileged tonight to call Calvary Gospel Church home. So privileged to say that my roots are here. And I want to say that to you as a church. I'm so thankful for your kindness and your and everything. We welcome this home, you know. Some of us, I don't really recognize everybody. So many new faces. Some of their old faces I still don't recognize, you know. They've grown up. My goodness. And they got beards on now. I don't know how that's possible. But God is good. Amen. God is good. Amen. The watchman on the wall. The word watchman, when we go back to the book of Ezekiel chapter 3, the Bible says that the Lord declared that the prophet became a watchman for the house of Israel. The word, it refers to a lookout or a sentry whose job was to warn the settlement, the village, the city of coming danger, of immediate threats to their civilization, their society, their families, and their home. The image from the prophet illustrates his role to remind the people of God of God's wrath, his impending judgment, if they failed to repent. The watchman on the wall was there to keep everybody checked and everybody balanced, to keep the people of God in the right places, to say when they're going off course, either to the left or to the right, as the psalmist wrote, keep your eyes directly in front of you, not leaning to the left or to the right. The watchman on the wall, he had a simple job. It was to tell what he heard. It was to tell what he saw. And it was to tell what was coming. Even late in the night watches, when everybody was tucked away, sleeping in bed, it was the watchman on the wall that did not sleep. It was the watchman on the wall that was fervently, carefully looking out across the darkness, trying to listen for different sounds and see what he could see. Looking out for anything that would hinder, anything that would destroy their way of life. The watchman on the wall, he tells what he hears, he tells what he sees, and he tells what is coming. The watchman on the wall in the scripture had a very simple job: simply tell what the Lord is telling him to say. Ezekiel gets the word of God, and he says, Ezekiel, the Lord tells him, the prophet, you will tell the people the words that I give you. Can I submit to you tonight in 2014, getting ready to cross over to 2015, that the role of the watchman has not changed? We live in a culture that wants to make the watchman a good, I don't know, a feel-good speaker. Maybe one of those, you know, people you go to a business meeting and you rah-rah, let's go speakers. We want to make watchmen of the preacher out to be simply an encourager. Simply someone that's going to give you that oh, attaboy, you're doing a great job. Keep going down the road. A yes man, if you will. This culture in society has taken the watchman and put him in the place of human emotion. No longer does the watchman say what the Lord says, but rather the watchman wants to say what the people want to hear. The watchman on the wall is not just a public speaker. He's not a politician. He's not the friend that you always wanted to have. But there's times where the watchman has to be the voice of God that says, thou shalt not. I know it might get a little bit uncomfortable for a while, but that's okay. I'm okay with that. That doesn't scare me. Why? Because the Bible gets uncomfortable sometimes. Can I tell you this tonight? I know I'm just visiting, you know, I'm going to be gone in the next few days. Pastors can, you know, clean it up later. But can I tell you something? Is if you sit through service after service after service after service, and you never get uncomfortable, something is wrong. The preacher's job is not to tell you what you want to hear. The preacher's job is not to be your friend. The preacher's job is not to be your parent, not to be your sidekick, not to be your homeboy. The preacher's job is to be the watchman on the wall. He tells what he hears, he tells what he sees, and he tells you what's coming. Sometimes we get to church, we just want a good word, you know. You ever been there before? I just need a word of encouragement. I just need, you know, just to feel good. I'm growing up in a generation of feel-good preachers. We want to talk about all that we want to sit down in the Psalms and Proverbs. Read the scriptures about how we're going to prosper in the Lord. But we stay far, far away of Romans and the conviction of God. Yeah, we stay far, far away from the words that's of Jesus that says, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Why? Why don't we hear? Why is that so difficult to preach? It's difficult to preach those messages. It's difficult to talk about hell because that's not what we want to hear. The world knows if they can change the preacher, if they can change what the preacher says, if somehow using the tools of intimidation, tools of postmodernism and popular culture, then they can change the voice of God in their life. The watchman on the wall does not have the right or the authority to say anything else but the word of God. Ezekiel, it tells us, he said, you will be a watchman and you will tell the people what I say. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 2. Paul writing to the young preacher, he says this, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Friend, I don't have the right to preach anything else but the word of God. Hear me. I'm not up here giving you business advice. I'm not up here giving you family advice. I'm not up here giving you financial advice. My job is to preach what thus says the word of the Lord. That's what the job of the watchman is, to preach the word. Why? Why is that? Because it's the word of God that's going to change lives. The word of God is going to break through the flesh. The word of God is going to break through the mind. The word of God is going to break through your emotion, going to break through the sin, the fog, the haze that has covered your life. It's the word of God. The church gets in trouble where we do too much talking and not enough preaching. Church gets in trouble when we're just sitting around talking about the Bible and not preaching the Bible, debating whether or not it came from where and there and everywhere else. Too much talking, not enough preaching. Salvation preaching must include the word of God. Why? Because it's only through the word that we can find our salvation. The watchman does not have the authority nor the right to preach anything else but the word of God. Romans chapter 10. Verses 12, 14 through 17, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord God shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? Friend, coming to church, listening to a message, it's more than just something else to do in your week. The preached word of God, it's more than just another word in your life, more than just another good advice. Some people look at the preaching like a Dr. Phil episode or something. Well, what does Oprah have to say on the topic? Well, what does my psychologist or my friends have to say on the topic? Friend, the word of God, it supersedes every other voice in your life. It is the only voice that matters. Why? Because in verse 17, it tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where does our faith come from? The most important thing you have in your life comes from the preached word of God. Hear me right now. Hear me right now. The most important thing in your life is the preached word of God. If faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, then what is more important than coming to church every week, week in and week out, sitting in a pew and listening to the preached word of God? See, friend, it's more than just a word of encouragement. It's more than just a good idea. It is your very salvation. When the preacher is preaching, it's more than just words, rhetoric, or an argument. In the name of Jesus, I hope you understand what I'm saying. Faith, everybody say faith. Faith is the most important thing that you can have. You look in your Bible. We only see a few times where Jesus prays, and then we only see a few times where Jesus prays for someone else. The Bible says that he prayed for Peter. Jesus said, I prayed for you, Peter, that what? That your faith would not fail. Friend, the number one thing you have to have, the number one thing you need in your life, the number one thing you cannot lose is your faith. Here, you can lose your house to foreclosure. The bank can take away your car. You can walk in tomorrow and you might not have a job. You can lose all the money in your bank account. But friend, there's one thing you cannot afford to lose. That's your faith. Jesus said, Peter, the devil wanted you to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you. What did he say? I prayed that your fishing business would go okay? Nah. I prayed that you'd be blessed. I prayed that none of that stuff. I pray your children would get the, none of that stuff. He said, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith would fail you not. Friend, there's nothing more important in your life than your faith in Jesus Christ. And yet day after day after day, your faith is taking a beating. It's being eroded away. It's being kicked to the side. It's being knocked down. Something happens over here. Something happens over there. Chips away at your faith. How do we rebuild it? How do we revive it? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. And how shall they hear it? See, when you go to church, it's more than just something we do after the worship. It's more than just the end of the service. It's more than just a Pastor Roy getting excited on Sunday. It's more than just a Bible study. There's an infusion of faith. Faith, everyone say faith. There's been so many times in my life where I could feel my faith, my trust, my belief, the very essence of who I am as a Christian take a beating in the spirit realm. You know what I do? I go to the Word of God. I open up my Bible. I begin to let it just feed my soul. I go over to my iPod on my phone. I go and click on a podcast and just let the preacher preach. I don't know what he's really preaching about right now. I just want it to feed my spirit. See, some of you need to learn how to do that. Some of you need to get a love for the preaching. I said, some of you need to get a love for the preached word of God. Some of us just sit around. I remember when I was a kid, you know, it's like, man, when is this guy going to get done? They say I said that to Pastor Grant one time, but I don't remember. That is a long time ago. That's how we, he said, you did, yeah. He said it, I believe it. I thought as a child, when I was a child, but when I became a man, get away with childish. We sit around and we treat preaching, you know, we pay more attention. I might get in trouble. Pay more attention to the score of the game than we do what the preacher's talking about. Pay more attention to what our friends are wearing, you know. What's going on over there? Preaching, this is a time for some of you, you let your mind wander about what you got to do the next week, you know. Some of you are zoned out right now. I can see it in your faces. Might get down there and start preaching up on you, you know. But why is that? It's because we've lost an understanding of what preaching really is. Preaching's more than just rhetoric. Preaching is more than just a guy up there or a girl up there just talking. No, no, no. Preaching is faith. Preaching is the word of God. Preaching is building the walls of your spirit, man. Preaching is the watchman on the wall, telling where you're at, telling where you're going, tell you what's coming. Preaching is warning you. Preaching is keeping you. Preaching is saving you. Preaching saving you and your family. Preaching's keeping your children out of hell. Wonder if we understood how powerful of a word this is. We'll skip Wednesday night Bible study or Wednesday night youth service. But we'll make the soccer practice. We'll make the drama practice. We'll make the hockey. I understand where we're at. I know how life is. We can make every other appointment, but Friday night Bible study or Friday night prayer meeting, well, you know. You know, it's late. Got to get the kids to bed. If we understood that it's more than just words, it's more than just a part of a service. No, this is about heaven and hell. This is literally everything. It's the word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4, skipping down to verses 3 through 5. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Here is your solution to this problem. But you, Timothy, young preacher, be watchful in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Hear me. Hear me tonight. The preacher, when he's preaching in your life, he's watching out for your soul. He's watching out for the dangers. Oh, man, he didn't want me to do that. He's just saying that up there, you know, he's just, you know, trying to make my life harder. He doesn't understand where I'm at, or he doesn't get my background. He can't understand where I come from. Friend, God has placed the preachers in your life to watch for your soul. You know, there's an old adage that says you're the worst person to defend yourself. I heard it said one time, everybody has blind spots, you know. you go to, you know how you get everything ready, you invite people over to your house, you're going to have a party, you know, people are coming over. What's the first thing you do, right? Start to clean. Well, maybe not you. That's what we do in my house, right? Start to clean, start to pick things up and, you know, start putting stuff out, candles and everything. I know you guys are perfect. You guys live like that, right? Well, sorry, right? Start tossing clothes in the bedroom, close it, lock it, whatever. You start to clean everything up. Well, the bottom line is if you were to show up to someone's house, I'm pretty sure we could find some dirt somewhere. I'm pretty sure we can, you know, see some dust over here. This was not clean. Why? We all have blind spots. Sometimes you just live with it there. Like it, some dust on the table. Yeah, oh, it's there. We all have blind spots. You're the worst person to defend yourself. That's why God put the shepherd in your life. That's why God put an elder in your life, a watchman in your life, as you're going through your life to show you where you're going off, to show you what you're missing, to show you what you're not seeing in the darkness, to show you the things that you have missed. See, while you go through your day, while you sleep tucked away at night, God has called a watchman not to sleep, but to be constantly watching, paying attention, looking out for your soul. See, when the preacher's speaking, when he's preaching to your life, he's begging you, please don't go down that road. But it's up to you. The Bible says that it's going to suffer you loss, not the preacher. He's trying to keep us out of danger. He's trying to keep us on the right path. Why? Because without preaching, we will lose our way. We will. That's the bottom line. We cannot make it to heaven without a preacher in our life. Can't. Cannot. It won't work. We need a preacher to remind us, bring us back. Let us know, as the prophet of old, you go through and read the scripture, starting with Abraham. Go all the way through the children of Israel, Moses leading them out, and all the prophets of old. Their job was simple. Remind the people of their covenant. Their job was simple. Just remind the people about the way they are supposed to be living. You know, sometimes I read through the Bible and I'm like, I can be kind of hard sometimes on the children of Israel because it seems like they just keep messing up over and over and over again. It's like, man, did you not just see the Lord part the Red Sea? Like, were you a part of, like, if we would have saw that, right? We like to say this. If we would have saw that, we never would sin ever again in our life. I've heard people tell me that. Why don't we see miracles? If God would just show us great miracles, we would never walk away. Nah. Look at the Israelites. They saw the miraculous. Korah was amongst those that crossed the Red Sea. Yet he had the audacity to stand up to the man of God. Korah, in his rebellion, said, oh, the preacher, the watchman, he's just over there. He's taking all the money for himself. He's over there taking all the goods for himself. He's looking out for his kids. What about us? Bible says Moses falls on his face before God. God shows up, wants to wipe them all out. Moses says, no, please don't judge the whole body based on one person's rebellion. The watchman interceding on behalf of the people. Then next, what happens in Numbers chapter 6? He says, the Bible says that the word of the Lord came through Moses and said, everybody watch out before Korah and his followers. Get away from them. God's getting ready to destroy them. And before, just as Moses finished talking, the people, as they were moving away, the Bible says the earth opened and swallowed Korah and all of his followers whole. The danger of not obeying the voice of God in your life. The danger of going against the watchman in your life is that you will not see the judgment coming. You will not see the danger that is lurking at the door. Huh. If the people would not have listened to the prophet Moses, they all would have been destroyed. but because they listened to the voice of the watchman. Because they wanted the preacher. They obeyed, they listened, they heeded the warning of the preacher. Their lives were saved. And watch this, not only were their lives saved, but all their families' lives were saved. Friend, what you don't understand is when you bring bitterness back to your house, that's bleeding onto your kids. When you start talking about the preacher and this and that and this sister and that brother, that's getting on to your kids. Hear me. When you have that attitude, when you have that spirit, when you allow that into your home, you're cultivating a spirit of rebellion in your household. As the Bible said in Hebrews, obey. Everyone say obey. That's a tough word, you know, because we live in a democracy and we'll revolt if we don't like it. And we hire our leaders. And that's not the way God set it up. Bible says, obey those that have the rule over you. Why obey? Because obey takes humility. Obedience takes humility. Humility. Hear me. If you don't hear anything else, hear this tonight. Obedience takes humility. It says, you know what? This is really hard for me. I really don't understand this, but I am going to humble myself and obey. You see, the Bible says that God gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. You see, you know what's going on in some of our lives? You can feel God resisting you. Every turn, something's going wrong. Every turn, something else falls through. I can't seem to sleep right. I can't keep a job. I can't keep a marriage. I can't keep my life together. What's going on? God is resisting you. Hear me. I know I'm right in smack dab in the will of God right now. I'm telling you point blank. God is resisting some of you. Why? Because he resists the proud. So I'm not proud. I'm just living my life the way I want to live. Case in point. See, pride is everything that's in the world. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Pride has everything to do with sinners. Why? Because if everybody would just submit to God. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. It's all about pride. All sin is about pride. All sin is about doing what I want to do instead of what the Word of God says. All pride is about living my life and my dreams and my visions and my call. What about God's will, God's vision, God's call? Well, I know I'm talking a while right now, but I hope someone is hearing me tonight. God is trying to break through your pride. The writer of Hebrews said, obey those that have the rule over you because they watch out for your souls. Their only motive is for you to get to heaven. Hear me tonight. My motive tonight is for you to submit to God. Nothing else on stake here. My only goal tonight is that someone here right now would say, God, I'm sick of living the way I've been living. I'm sick of everything falling apart. I'm sick of struggling against you. That's why the Bible says my yoke is easy, my burden is light. But when you're not going in the same direction as he's going, it's not going to be easy and it's not going to be light. Why? Because God is going to resist you at every point. Why? Because God resists the proud. See, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have it all together. I made so many mistakes in my life, man. God knows. But he gives grace. See, you could fall down. You could fall down. You can mess up. But you always got to stay humble. The only way you're ever going to make it to heaven is if you realize that I'm not going to make it without Him. I need the Word of God. I need the preaching. God, I need a preacher to preach to me. There's got to be something in your spirit that says every single week, God, I need the preaching. Everybody right now, I want you to say, preach it. Everybody say, preach it. What are you saying? You're saying, preach to me. Speak to me. Some of you need to have a revival of preaching in your life. It says, I don't care what else is going on. I got to make it to church. Why? Because I got to have a preacher. Some of you, you're not going to be able to make it to Wednesday night. You're going to have to download a podcast, find a CD, and play it in the car. Play it when you wake up. Why? Because that preaching is going to get into your spirit. Hear me. You may not believe that, but I believe it. I don't like my daughter. You know, she's only like 4 months. You know, she can't even understand what's going on. I don't like my daughter to be out of the service. Oh, I tell my wife, bring her back in. Why? There's something about the preaching of God. There's something about the preached word of God. I believe that something is being transferred into her. I can remember, it wasn't in this sanctuary, but this church, I can remember many days, many services, falling asleep underneath the pews, listening to the music, listening to the preaching. I might not have understood everything, but I believe something was transferred. Something was cultivated. There were seeds that were landing on grounds in my heart that were being planted in my spirit. Why? Because something happens when you understand the value of preaching. When you get in the Word, when the Word's inside of you, it changes your mind. It changes your heart. What is it? It's faith that's rising up inside of you. And friend, if we ever needed a day, if we ever had a day or an hour that we needed more faith, it's right now. I was thinking about this a while ago. I realized I've been going a while. I'm going to bring it to a close. I don't know what time you guys end, but I'll get there. Don't worry. I was thinking a while back, trying to calculate how many services I've been in, you know. I'm a young man, you know. But I've been in church my whole life, as Pastor Roy was saying. And I was trying to think, you know, how many services, how much preaching have I heard, you know? Thinking back, I couldn't even count how many. If I did a rough estimate, it would be well into the thousands. I mean, good Lord, who knows, right? Who knows, between Sundays and Wednesdays and youth conventions and youth weeks and senior camps and junior camps, and who knows how many messages. How many sermons? How many preachings? How many times the watchman had to get on the wall and say, Micah, you're not going the right way. You're not going down the right path. Who knows? But I can tell you right now, right here, however many thousands of messages I've heard, however many thousands of sermons I have been a part of, I still need more preaching. It doesn't matter how many have been in the past. I still need the Word of God in my life. I still need a preacher in my life. I still need someone to get up and say, what thus saith the Lord? See, the problem with our generation is we feel like we got enough. I've been in this a long time. He ain't saying nothing I ain't heard before. Friend, you misunderstand what preaching is. It's not about bringing something new that we haven't heard before. I get sick of that. Okay, I better stop. You know, we try to find the coolest thing, you know. Got to entertain people. Got to come up with cool little illustrations and all this. And friend, I don't need any of that. Just tell me what God is saying right now. I might have heard this sermon 1,000 times. I might have heard it more than that. But if I need to hear it, I need to hear it right now. Well, I've heard that before. I've been there before. Romans chapter 13, 11 says, and do this, knowing the time that now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Friend, we are nearer today than we ever have been to the coming of the Lord. He is coming any minute. He is coming any second. It's not time to have less preaching. It's time to have more preaching. I don't want less church. I want more church. I don't need less prayer meetings. I want more prayer meetings. I don't need less Bible studies. I need more Bible studies. If there's ever been a time you need to be in the house of the Lord, it's right now. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He said, this is that. He said, we are living in the last days. That was over 2,000 years ago. If it was true 2,000 years ago, how much more close are we now? How closer to that day are we now? If we've been in the last days for 2,000 years, these are like the last of the last days, right? They gotta be. Hear me. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Now's not the time to get bored with the preaching. Now's not the time to get bored with the word. Now's not the time to say, oh, I've heard it before. I've seen it before. Nothing new under the sun. Nothing I haven't heard. No, no, no. Now's the time to say, preach it. Why? Because I need to hear it. I need to make it to heaven. Oh, someone say amen tonight. Let's do this. Lift your hands. Lift your voices. Even right now, as the musicians come, I'm going to try to bring this to a close. Lift your hands right now. Would you call unto the Lord and say, God, I need it to be in my life. Preach to me, Lord. Let the word break through in my mind and in my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now is not the time to approach a message, a service with a take it or leave it attitude. Preaching's not a smorgasbord. It's not a buffet. God's preaching your word in your life. You need to take it, put it in your life. Well, that doesn't apply to me. Sure it does. Sure it does. God's speaking to you. Well, that's not for me. That's for my friend. You need to quit looking around, telling who that, oh, I wish so-and-so was here. She needed to hear that. Oh, I wish, oh, that this brother over here, he should have been there tonight. You're over there missing what God had for your life. It's true. They should have been there. You better believe it. But you're not responsible for them. You're responsible for you. You are responsible for the word of God that's delivered in your life. I don't want to go into a service saying, oh, I sure do hope so-and-so's here tonight. Because, no, I want to go to a service saying, God, I need your word tonight. I need you to speak to me tonight. There's no one here tonight that's too old, too young, and that doesn't need the word preached to them. There's no one. You haven't heard enough messages. You haven't heard enough sermons. You need the word of God. Why? Because the watchman on the wall tells what he sees, tells what he hears, and he's telling you what's coming. What am I doing tonight? You're talking about preaching I am. I'm talking about preaching. I'm preaching about preaching. Why? Because I believe that there's people here tonight. You've lost the value of the preached word of God in your life. You've lost the value of the watchman. Oh no, I'll figure it out. I got it. I can do this thing on my own. You got to love the preaching. Love the word. Why? Because it's building faith in your life. The book of Luke, chapter 16, I'm going to read this and we're going to pray. Bible talks in Luke chapter 16, we're not going to read the whole thing, but tells us that there was a rich man and there was a poor man. The Bible says that the rich man in his life had many things and the poor man in his life didn't have much. The Bible talks about, so it was that the beggar died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades or hell, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom, Lazarus the poor man. Then he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger. Notice, just the dip, the tip of his finger. That's all he wanted. And cool, dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all of this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. What is he saying? He's saying, look, okay, if Lazarus can't cool my tongue, at the very least, tell my family, don't let him come to this horrible place. Abraham said to him, notice, this is very important. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. I know it. If they could just see the miraculous, if they could see the unbelievable, if they could just see what I can see right now. But he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Hear me tonight. Hear me tonight. Hear me tonight. If you cannot submit to the preached word of God in your life, there is nothing else in this world or the next that's going to save you. Hear me. He said, if they have Moses and the prophets, a synonym for the Bible, the word, but it's also literal because they have literally the words of Moses and the words of the prophets, the preached word of the prophet. He said they have Moses and the prophets. They can hear their words And if they refused to hear their words, it wouldn't matter if I moved heaven and hell and brought someone back to them. They still would not be persuaded. Hear me. If you refuse the preaching of the man of God in your life, if rebellion has gripped you to such a point where you cannot submit to the preacher, there's nothing in this world or the next that's going to save you. Oh, Jesus. If we knew how important preaching was, we would never miss another one. We would never miss another one. We want to hear it all day, all night. We keep it on repeat. Feed me. Speak to me. Preach to me. And preach to my family. Let's all stand tonight. There's been a lot of distractions tonight. I believe the devil's on a mission to get some of you out of the church, out of the faith. But I believe there's people here tonight. You want that revival in your spirit. You want a revival of the Word of God in your life. I believe that there's families here tonight that you're ready to make preaching a priority on your list. That you're ready to sit down at family Bible studies and let the preaching speak to you. I believe there's couples here tonight that say, you know what, we don't have enough preaching. We haven't been submitted the way we need to be submitted. We're not following God's plan for our life. I believe there's some changes that are going to be made in the house tonight. Oh, Jesus. Every eye closed right now, every head bowed. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, even right now, I come against the spirit of rebellion in this place right now. I pray that you would let a spirit of submission, a spirit of fear, a spirit of reverence for your word, of your will, and of your way. God, we want your grace to be active in our life. We want your mercies to be active in our life. We pray, God, that you would take us, mold us, shape us into your perfect will tonight. Everybody together, would you begin to speak out to the Lord right now, in the name of Jesus. Speak out right now. If you know how to speak in tongues, why don't you go ahead and pray in the spirit a little bit. I believe that God is breaking through some walls.